It's 8:45. We're going to call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. If you'll rise and do the Pledge of Allegiance with us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall there. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, and Setzer. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held June 29th. Approve all claims through July 13th in the amount of $971,393.43. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve additions, withdrawals of securities of county monies. Approve permit number 882 for Kent Bus to install electrical line East 14 Hanover Township. And that is it.
I make a motion to accept the presented, accept the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Marlon, you're up. Highway Department report.
Starting out on zoning, we'll probably have a meeting in August. We have a request from the FAA to update our airport zoning, so we're going to start looking at that. They basically sent a sample regulations along that they would like, so we'll start looking at that at the August meeting then for the Planning Commission. So moving on to the agenda stuff, we have the approve or disapprove resolution directing the highway superintendent to do a road speed safety study on Southwest 117 Road in and near the unincorporated village of Ellis in Gage County, Nebraska. And this is on the east side of Section 20 of Lincoln Township. And do you have resolutions, Don? I have two also.
11-25.
I'd make a motion to approve a resolution as stated by the highway superintendent.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Marlon, you want a background on just...
Yeah, we've had a request from public out there. There's been a... Over the last few years, there's been several accidents in that area, and the speed seems to be an issue coming right through the little village of... unincorporated village of Ellis. So this is basically just the board directing me to do a study. Which is standard. And then once I do the study, I bring in the results, and then you have, in order to put up a speed limit sign, a white sign, it has to have board approval. So it would be on the agenda a later date for approve or disapprove, and so you'd have another chance to vote on it. So.
Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Okay, then I guess we got a 9 o'clock bid opening, but going on down in my report, there's a railroad right-of-way in Wymore issue, and I got an email. I didn't open it till 10 o'clock. I received it at 8:06 yesterday morning, basically saying they want to offer us more ground than what we're requesting. On the map, and about the third page down on it, there's a map, and you kind of see a shaded area. In mine, it's colored, but it shows the area they're wanting to sell with it. I went down and looked at it. There's some issues there. I'm sure there's environmental issues. There's junk on it. There's...
It's the old railroad yard is what
right.
It is. Part of the railroad yard.
Yeah, part of it. And it had been offered to the city of Wymore and that the whole tract that they offered to the city of Wymore was like 45 acres, and they were asking them $42,000, and Wymore turned it down. And this seems to be a lot higher. They wanted $15,000 for 5 acres, plus some kind of fee for processing, $1,800 over and above. So it looks to me like the best thing for us to do would be to say, well, no, we're interested in the 0.29 acres and move on. So.
Terry, go ahead.
Martin, those 2.9 acres then, why are we even looking at them? Because of the bridge project?
Bridge project,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
And in her email, she said that would landlock some land, but if it's public property, it won't landlock any land. It's, it'd be just like any other right-of-way that the county has. So,
how will this affect the project on purchasing it? How long will it take to hammer it out with the railroad? And when do we look at the powers we have to get that land? That's how much longer do we play with them? Because it's been quite a long time.
I know. The railroad is historically or always that way, I guess. They just,
I mean, it's an abandoned line. It's just sitting there.
Well, in their interest, you can see their interest is to get rid of it all, and that's why they're trying to lump some more in it. There's probably some liability issues there, too. If it's been an old yard and stuff, you never know what you'd find in there. So, anyway, that's, if I don't hear any strong objections, that's what my answer is going to be back to the railroad, is that we just want the 0.29 acres. So,
I think that's your direction now, anyway.
Okay. Then moving on down, we have hopefully we'll be able to pour concrete on. We got messed up with a couple rains there. We got like 3 inches of rain in a few days, and so we're hauling in base material on the east end of the that 1 mile on the south side, and hopefully we'll be able to pour on Friday if it don't rain between now and then. So then on the other projects, well, the one in Wymore I just talked about, the one in Philly North, we're getting closer on that. The Philly North in the north, I'm going to bring in a new project now. Adams Northwest is on the 2012 state transportation plan now, because the Philly North ain't going to, with the wetland delineation, ain't going to get ready for bid letting this year. They're still planning on doing the bid letting on the in Wymore one. So then I got a resolution from the clerk's office that for the federal funds purchase program, we'll put that probably on the next agenda. That's the one where they pass down the federal funds and they manage to keep part of them or administrating it and then send the rest to us. So. And you guys have, I think we've talked about that.
And I gave him a copy of the letter for this time, too. It should be in your pack.
Matt.
Just part of a discussion is what meeting was that we went to out in Kearney where they talked about that, and NACO was discussing trying to buy that out at a higher rate, and I think they ended up on basically 80 cents on the dollar. Isn't that
about
what it was?
That's kind of where they're at. I wouldn't take that to the bank yet.
We were hoping it would be somewhere around 90, 95 cents on the dollar, but there are some benefits because then you're meeting state requirements, not feds. So it's a lot lower, but maybe that's higher than maybe we should be happy and just be quiet.
And hopefully we can get more, but until they set it, and that's probably always subject to change depending on how the state feels. So.
Martin, the Adams Northwest, where's that located at again?
That's the one on the Apple Road up there by all them subdivisions.
But 90th or...
Yeah, 90th, east of 96.
Yeah, just east of 96.
Moving down to the crews, basically we're patching asphalt, putting on some overlays, and the dirt crew's working on projects. The bridge crew's been doing the... beefing up the bridges with them diaphragms that we put in between the stringers to get a better rating, and also to let the whole board know we did that work on the Barnston South Bridge, south of the new bridge. It's about 2.5 miles south of the Highway 8. The engineer says that's going to rate to where we can pull the signs clear off of it, but they still have to run it by the state and get everything stamped officially, so hopefully we can pull them weight limit signs on that one. So, and that's about all I have until we have the bid opening.
Okay. Any other questions? Is that it, Marlon?
Yep.
Jane, 4 minutes. Is that enough? We have a 9 o'clock bid opening. No? Okay. 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 We'll jump by you, and we'll do one down here that way. We're going to approve or disapprove resolution opposing HSUS. Calvin, you want to? You can do that in 4 minutes or less, correct?
Calvin Carey with the Beatrice Chamber of Beatrice Council. We had a meeting with the Beatrice Chamber of Commerce yesterday. We're in the Ag Committee. We have the statement of support for agriculture in front of you. The mayor had asked that we bring this to you guys to okay it before we take it to the city. Basically, all this is saying that we have a problem with the way that HSUS is going to dictate to the farmers on how to raise their livestock. This is just to support our universities and veterinarians. The way that we're raising livestock now is appropriate. So I'll leave it at that. Now, if we can have adopt the resolution, we'd appreciate it.
Okay. Need a motion.
I move to adopt.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion?
Chairman.
Matt.
I just would confer with our legal counsel here. As we're all seeing this for the first time this morning, I have no opposition here, but is there any, other than just a letter of support, no obligation?
Right.
That's basically all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we need to make it very clear that the Humane Society of the United States is nowhere similar to the Humane Society of Gage County, mm-hmm. and they're totally different organizations and have nothing to do with one another. And I think the public needs to understand that this is a Humane Society of the United States issue and not local.
Right. And we're trying to support the local Humane Society. Give an example. They came out with they're trying to nationally regulate the poultry industry. They have to double the cage size by, I think, 2012. And so it's going to dramatically raise all the food prices if we go ahead and do not say that HUS is bad for the agriculture industry.
Okay.
On what Denny said, it does say right in the letter that this has no affiliation to the Beatrice Humane Society. So, Calvin, you might want to make sure you go ahead and give a copy to the paper and the radio also.
Are you comfortable, Roger?
Yeah. Okay.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you. 11-26. We have a 9 o'clock accept or reject bids for crack sealer. Need a motion to close all bids.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Either two. One. Terry.
Oh, open it, yeah.
One bid only, correct, Don?
Yes, one bid.
One bid.
Okay. This bid is for a 2011 Model 230, which is illustrated right here. Warranty for 1 year, hose and machine, 2 years on the engine, or 3,000 hours, the way I take it. The bid total is $40,500, less rent paid of $7,000, which would make the and an unpaid balance due of $33,500.
And that is the existing machine that we're using now? And who's the company, Terry?
Rose Equipment.
Okay. Do you want to confer it to committee or do it now?
I guess I think the price of it's where it should be, Marlon, isn't it?
Right, and that machine heats up so much faster than our old one, and guys can get out quicker, and it's a lot safer. There are a couple guys here if you have any questions. The machine is lower to the ground, and you can load it from either side so the guys don't have to step up on anything and accidentally step out in traffic if it's going by. So it's a lot better machine. The one we had, you know, was getting some age on it, and of course the motor issues and stuff. And what we'll probably do with it is advertise for bids, and somebody will probably have one just like it where they need another one to put with it. So,
Matt?
So just this is the one that we've been using.
Yeah.
Right now
we rented it.
Decided to rent this. So that's where this lease comes from. This is the actual model. This isn't a new one just like it. This is the one we've been using.
Yeah.
And it was new when we started to use it.
Right. It was brand new when we started.
And Myron and then Gary. Okay. Myron?
Kind of the life expectancy or how long you used the last one? I mean.
Well, it was a used one. It was a 1997. No, it was, '97. And I think it was used when they bought it in 98 or 99. Somewhere in there.
So you had that one 11 or 12 years.
Yeah.
So
Gary? We have a lot of miles of asphalt. So.
Gary?
Was there a reason there was just one bidder, Marlon, or is there a good reason?
We advertised and sent out. Rose Equipment's local. There's one in, South Dakota and one in Omaha, I think. And
I don't have any problem with Rose Equipment. I'm
just
making sure that we had it out there for. Okay. Second question is you said there was 1 year warranty on. When does the warranty start? From the time we started renting it or from the time we purchased it?
Time you started renting it.
Uh-oh. No.
Terry?
The other thing I wanted to tell everybody, there'll be a $7,000 basically discount on this. And I shouldn't say discount. It's still going to cost it, but we needed a machine. When the other went down.
Right.
So the rent on it will be coming off the purchase price. So in my estimation, it's a good deal. I think we ought to go with the bid.
And the reason we had to keep going is because as the summer heats up and the pavement gets warmer, it pushes all them cracks shut, and you can't get any tar in them. And at some point you got to quit, so that's why we had to keep going when we were doing it. So,
okay. We need a motion to approve or disapprove.
I make a motion to approve the bid.
Moved by Juergens.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you. Jane, you're up now.
I just need to get the minutes. If you could just send me the minutes, that's all I need as far as signing order.
Okay. Would you step across the hall and give them your information, and we'll send you a copy.
Thank you.
I'm Jane Ford Widoff, Director of Public Health Solutions, and just want to remind you that Public Health Solutions serves five counties, including Gage, and we're responsible for promoting and protecting the health of citizens. And what I like to do is to come around periodically and let you know the kinds of things that we're doing. We do get health fund dollars that we do a lot of our core functions, like, you know, we monitor disease, investigate. We're doing a lot of case management and things like that. And then there are, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But then the state does meet out kind of small portions of money for special projects. And one of those is Fight the Bite against West Nile. We had no West Nile cases last year, and we don't want any this year. But we expect that there are going to be a lot more mosquitoes. Of course, just because I said that, there won't be, which is okay. But, you know, there's been a lot of rain, and West Nile, generally speaking, is not that that serious for people when they get it. They probably don't even know they have it. But it can be very, very serious. And what we have done this year with the money that we got is, besides the you know, the ads and stuff like that that we're required to put in, we made brochures, and then we purchased a lot of these DEET wipes and these dunks that go go into ponds where there's potential for larvae to proliferate or to hatch, and these prevent that. And also there's some bug bans, which have been so popular we're out of them already. And those are for little kids. They're more of an organic containing thing. And anyway, I was going to just pass these around in case you don't have any wipes yourself. But what we had done was sent packages of these, and I sure hope it got to the county clerk, because it didn't last. The last county I went to, they said they hadn't gotten it, and I was just so humiliated, but I don't know where they went. But, yeah, these went to the county clerks with the idea that we would, that they would make them available to groups that would be particularly susceptible. And I was thinking, like, the road workers and you know, there might be kids' activities and whatever else. And we thought that would be the best route. In talking with your highway superintendent, I realized that he doesn't really have very many, so we're probably going to change our strategy next year and maybe focus on certain of those entities. But I was going to just pass these around. And the dunks, I feel very strongly about. I know that spraying is a popular thing politically. You know, everybody feels like you're really doing something when you spray.
Rex. You know, I just might interject while I'm sitting here. I'm looking back at the Gage County Historical the Hysterical Society. You know, I'm looking back at the Fair Board, and I'm thinking the Extension Service, it might be a good connection for us to get all the county fair folks prior to county fairs, as we have people working in the animal barns and what have you, that this we need to excuse me for interrupting, but I see that. It has nothing to do with Historical Society.
That Extension, you know, we're going to have a greater partnership with Extension. These dunks work for a number of weeks, and if you have any bodies of water that you can't empty or whatever, these are really good, and they're non-toxic. Another major project that we've done, but this is with Health Fund, is that, you know, we work very closely with the county emergency managers. And one of the concerns that we've had is what happens with people that are vulnerable, you know, that don't have mobility, need special equipment and whatever, and couldn't stand a power outage, et cetera, et cetera. So we, across the country, they're doing this, but this is ours. We're joining with Lancaster County and the rest of the state to have a registry of people that are vulnerable. And, you know, they sign, so they know what's going to happen to the data. But this is available only to for emergencies, emergency response. But I'm going to pass out the SNAP brochures. Not that you're going to have to register, but these are... I think it's going to be a very good thing, because the emergency managers have been wanting this for some time, and this will be a wonderful opportunity. We're going to enter all of the data initially ourselves until we see how it goes. But all of that, all of this information would be entered into your geographic information system, and it'll be easier for you to respond. It's no guarantee that people will get protected, but it helps. With regard to some other things that that we're concerned about, and we've been really busy in your county. You probably don't even know that we've been here, but we've been very busy. We've had nurses visiting all the physicians' offices and whatever in the clinics. And, of course, Natalie Kingston's been very active with the schools with the Safe Routes to Schools program, and I know she's working with law enforcement and others to use the $8,000 that's available to help make kids safer, to do things within the community that will help make things safer, like signs and I don't know what other things that they have picked. But anyway, that's going on quite a bit. With regard to the nurse going around and talking with everyone, one of the concerns that we have, and this is not just limited to Gage County, but we're having more and more problems with people, middle-class people that have lost their jobs, that don't have any health care, can't get into health care. And I know that care providers can, but still it's a major problem. And you know, we're going to have to work with the healthcare providers and the hospitals in the whole district to decide what we want to do, because right now what's happening is a lot of these people are having to be shipped up to Lincoln to use some of their services, like their community health center and their volunteer clinics and stuff like that, which I guess is okay, but that's not the best. It's not the best for the people, and it's not best in the long run for Gage County, because if you get people who have a pattern of going to Lincoln for services, you're going to lose them, and we need those people to stay here for health care. But anyway, I just wanted to give you a little illustration of some of the things that have, some of the cases we have. Like, we have a fellow that's recovering, and I don't know all the story about him, but he has a very, very bad hernia that limits his ability to work. And, you know, every time he does try to go out and work, he ends up in the hospital or whatever and ends up having to have medication, which, of course, is no long-term solution. All the care for him to have that hernia taken place is already in place, except we need $200 for the physician. The surgeon, that was his, you know, his need. Anyway, we don't really have any place to get that. So what we have done is and this is something that the board had in mind quite a while ago, we've established a public health foundation. So that would be a way of providing some funds. You'd have to be very careful. But like in this particular case, this guy has called every week about his surgery, tried to get surgery, and we've not been able to help him. And so aside from my wonderful husband who's provided the money, you know, but he can't do that every time, you know, had we had the foundation in place, possibly we could have helped him. But that $200 will enable him to get that surgery, and we have every confidence he's going to go back to work, because he's been trying to work so much, even with the impairment that he has. We had other people. We have two people that, a couple, I believe, I don't know. I think they both lost their jobs, and he lost his health insurance, and he was having pains. And we finally got him into care in Lincoln, and it turns out that he has liver cancer, which, of course, is kind of a bad thing. And nothing would have helped him if we had gotten it earlier, but that's kind of a sad circumstance. But, you know, there was another... a man and a woman that have an autistic child. She's 35. She had a heart attack. I don't know why, but anyway, she had a heart attack, but got the care because, you know, the charity care is available for emergencies. And then we're having to work to see if we can't get her that follow-up care, you know, because that's not free. So, and both of them had lost their jobs, and of course she has an autistic child too. Well, anyway, I don't mean to just give you sad tales of woe, but you know, we are working hard to make the best use of the resources we have. This problem is going to get worse. Everybody says, "Oh, health care reform is going to do everything." I don't even know how you feel about health care reform, because I don't even know how I feel. But even if they increase insurance and the number of people on insurance, which I don't know if they will or not, but if they do, it's still going to leave us a problem with access. There aren't enough primary care resources in our rural areas, and certainly not enough that can do it at such a low cost. And you look at the reimbursement rates for Medicaid, just, you know, it's pretty miserable. Anyway, we have other projects. I don't want to bore you unless you really want me to talk more. You know, I guess I'm particularly interested if there are any concerns that you have, any health-related concerns that we can help with. We're always available. And we are starting to do a lot more. We're called out a lot more to look at disheveled properties, you know, abandoned properties and whatever. So that comes out of the health fund. But we're going to have to figure some way to handle that in the long run. But I'm glad to see. Oh, Skip Flu. Forgot to Skip Flu. You know, we do the Skip Flu program in the schools, and why we do it is it does help the schools keep schools in session. But it's really, really important that found in reducing the amount of flu in a community. So because those little buggers, those school kids, go all over the community and spread the flu. So if we can get them immunized, then there's much less of a problem, and the vulnerable people are less likely to get the flu. And we had, this year is the first year we've asked the county boards, the schools, and the hospitals to help. What we've done is divided the cost of the vaccine, which is quite pricey for us, about $39,000 for the whole district, and divided it in three of what would have been used in your county, and then asked for support. So I don't know what you've done with that, but nonetheless, we're going to be planning to go into the schools regardless. Okay. So that's all I have to say.
I thought you just might find it interesting, and Terry and Kathy and I ran into Public Health Solutions in doing our protests, property protests this week, and an individual who owned a meth house and had been closed down, and how Public Health Solutions had helped him relative to that issue. So just right. Thought I'd throw that out. You never know when you run into Public Health Solutions.
Yeah, we get called out by our sheriff. And then we have to, you know, restrict access and make sure that it's taken care of. But, yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Thank you.
Thank you. Sandy Morrissey, Region 5.
Good morning. If you'll recall, I serve Southeast Nebraska, 16 counties. We do prevention, substance abuse specific. However, that's broadening. And so I wanted to give you an update this morning. I come annually, for those of you that I haven't met before. And I'll give you an update on what's happening regionally, as well as talking a little bit about Gage County. In front of you, I was hoping to have more information for you, but what you will see is what has been awarded for the 2011-2012 Substance Abuse Prevention Federal Block Grant Funds. You'll be able to look at the other counties that applied and the dollars they received. This is not population level based. When I came on in 2003 and went around and actually spoke with different counties, and community groups working on substance abuse prevention, it was very evident they didn't want all the dollars going to Lancaster. They wanted rural communities to be served. So we've adhered to that. There's not a percentage given to each county. What I've asked is every year you need to reapply and present your strategic plan. And as we've grown, we now have data. So those folks have to use local data to support their strategies for substance abuse prevention. You'll notice Gage County, they received $11,104. They actually had asked for more than that. And the dollars that they did not receive were specific to personnel. When I looked at how much I have available, which is only about $300,000 to put out towards communities, I said if we start giving money to pay personnel, we're going to serve very few people, and it's going to pay for a few people's jobs. So it's for strategic planning. I cap it at 20%. They can put 20% towards personnel. I think Gage right now, they were hoping with particularly their youth piece that they could use some of those dollars to hire a youth coordinator. But we will continue. We try to find other funding to help support prevention efforts. So every year is a new year. Gage only got $11,000 this year, but next year they could be applying for $30,000, and their strategies support the need for those dollars. The communities have worked really well with the system we've put in place for those dollars. And the other piece I hoped I'd had for you today, we have done the Nebraska Risk and Protective Factor Survey. If you'll recall, the years we completed, I bring it in to you. We started it in 2003, did it again 2005, 2007. We were not able to do it in 2009 due to funding. And fortunately, as communities have organized, we told the state, unacceptable. If we've done this survey for 6th, 8th, 10th, 12th graders for three consecutive settings, we need to continue it. It is a longitudinal study. It asks them not only their perceptions, but has given us a great deal of information in Southeast Nebraska where they're getting the alcohol, messages they get at home from their environment. And it isn't just regarding alcohol. It's other drugs and violence. So 2010, we were able to get that survey completed. I was hoping the results would be here. Historically, starting back in 2003, those results indicated in Southeast Nebraska, we were above the state average with underage drinking. With our efforts in these last years, we are now below the state average with underage drinking. I'm hoping 2010 will show even more of a decrease. But what happens with when you look at social change and the work we're wanting to do, it's kind of taking baby steps. Coalitions now are realizing we can't just focus on the kids and the underage drinking. What's the environment doing to support those the underage drinking for parents to not take a stand and say it's, number one, illegal for our youth to be drinking, but also taking some ownership in terms of monitoring behavior, those kind of things. So we'll see some of that in these next few years in terms of it's almost a community readiness piece. Once the coalition realizes, well, we've got strategies in place for underage drinking, now it's time we really address what some of the root causes. And our surveys have indicated really getting back into homes, talking to parents, them setting limits and boundaries, and we'll work closely with the schools. A couple of big pieces that are happening, the Department of Education is looking at applying for some new funding. They've asked me to be on that committee. Safe and drug-free school dollars are gone. And it's happened nationally, but what they found, those dollars, the schools could use that pot of funding for anything they wanted. Hopefully it was going towards substance abuse prevention. In some schools, they were very good in terms of their plan for substance abuse. In other schools, particularly if they were tight with funding, would put it towards whatever else they needed, whether it was books or program. So nationally, those dollars have been gone, but they're putting it into another pool, and it's going to be for substance abuse and violence. And we have seen a huge increase, and our data would indicate the bullying within schools, passive as well as overt behaviors, has increased significantly. And the state, as well as the schools, don't want to deal with it alone, and it shouldn't be. That's one of the reasons we've developed these coalitions. Let's get organized and begin to deal with it on a community level. So the dollars that come back in, I'm sure you can picture at the table, we have Omaha and Lincoln saying, well, we've got, you know, some inner city, that's where those dollars should be allocated. And we're saying across the state, let's look at the best use for those dollars that can help all populations. So know that that's a big piece happening. And Denny, you talked about the meth piece. You know, law enforcement has been crucial, a crucial partner with our prevention efforts. They've done a great deal of training with us in different areas, but they've also partnered with adults and youth in communities, and that is a significant piece. with methamphetamine, one of the things we've learned from them is the minute we take our eye off of it and focus on prescription drug abuse or the increase in marijuana use, the meth is going to increase again as we do our efforts towards other drugs of choice.
I want to interrupt you a moment.
Sure.
You're talking about cyberbullying. Well, I think if we want the youth to learn, our blogs, I'm not going to pick on the Daily Sun, it's any blog you look at, cyberbullying is taking place. So if we want the youth to understand it's unacceptable, it's got to start in the adult environment also.
You're absolutely
and
right.
I don't know if it starts at the state end, federal end, or where, but those things need looked at.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. You're right on, and that has not, I mean, those are discussions in terms of what how we're going to handle that.
And I would think communication with the Nebraska Press Association would be extremely important in bringing them in as part of that, as we have First Amendment rights and how they deal with that relative to that issue.
And I appreciate that comment, too. Know that what we've been asked from the state within each region, we are going to have forums, and we'll start our first one Thursday. We have our regional coalition meeting. Coalition leads from Southeast Nebraska will be present. I wanted to start with them first, us have that discussion, and then we'll hold two more within Southeast Nebraska, one in Lincoln, one probably Nemaha to try to get Southern or Southeast communities up. But we'll try to get as many folks input, and that's where we would have that discussion to begin to say we've got to address it on a higher level. So absolutely.
I would just hope we just won't leave it out there that maybe they'll come, that we make an effort
yes.
to make sure that they're invited. We pick up the telephone, we go to their office and say, we need you as part of this discussion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
I just wanted to come up here and let you know that $11,000 that we were awarded will be spent towards, we're working with a program with Death and Bruce with the law enforcement and also Wymore Southern in internet safety. And that's one of the things that we really focused on this year, as well as some other support towards the 429 factory and a few other projects that we have going on. We use some specific FIFSIG funding, which comes out of Region 5, to do the compliance checks, the high visibility checkpoints, and a couple of other programs that we work with.
You might identify yourself one more time.
Sorry, Christina Lyons. I'm the director of the Gage County Maps Coalition.
All right.
She's doing a great job. And that would be some of the braided funding. I mean, we really, it's just imperative. I'm now on the Nebraska Board for Juvenile Justice. We know it's just time we really start partnering due to funding. A lot of us are working in the same areas. It's just really getting organized with strategies within each of those specific entities. So we're working hard on that, and we're getting organized. Christina does a great job. The youth we've had on our board, our regional youth board from Gage County, have been excellent. Their leadership is unbelievable, and we'll continue to build those skills. The meth piece I was going to mention, because you may hear about it, Kansas has been, they have allowed us to borrow and use anything that they have put together. And they've even apologized to Nebraska. They have said, we're taking our cues from the states, and like Oklahoma. They said, we're pushing meth out of our state, and it will come into yours, particularly through the southeast, wherever there's the corner. So they've given us. I mean, we use their trademark, put Nebraska on it, no cost. I mean, there's nothing. It's about let's work together, let's collaborate. The one piece that we're doing this year, and Christina will get heads up on it tomorrow when we meet, we have purchased tamper tags, and it won't protect the anhydrous pneumonia. In fact, some of the farmers, when we first started educating them, were laughing. We have a brochure to show them but because it's a wire. But we purchased them specifically because there's a blue tab on it. It has to be cut in order to get into the tank. You could probably do it with a pair of scissors, but you can't put it back together once it's been cut. So it's similar to zip ties, but they couldn't. Someone who's breaking into the anhydrous to want to use it for meth, wouldn't be able to replace this tag because it's from a particular company that makes them specific. So we're working closely with the co-ops so that within their yards, all the tanks have tamper tags on them, and then farmers that have their own on their land. And we want to
then we'll monitor, is there particular areas? Law enforcement said, oh, my gosh, if you can say to us, yeah, Gage County has had 5 tamper tags destroyed in this month, they will put more enforcement in this area, particularly with the meth piece. So we're looking at it as a collaborative venture, but also proactive in the sense of law enforcement is saying, watch out, meth is going to, it's on the rise again. And those are the kind of relationships we have to have so that we can hopefully, as we grow with prevention, we're 3 to 5 years projecting what we're going to have to be looking at. So okay. I didn't mean to take too much time.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Nope, thank you. We have a 9:30 timed event. I would like a motion to close bids at 9:30, and then we're going to jump to victim assistance because I know they need to get out of here. So we will open the bids after that. Moved by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to close bids, victim assistance.
Hi, guys. I'm Bruce Lang, Kerry McGrory, representing the Victim Assistance Program for Gage County. For those of you that are not familiar with the program, it's been in existence for how many years total?
Since 1995.
1995, so it's been around a long time. It supports all of Gage County crime victims, works very closely with Mr. Harris in the county attorney's office, works very closely with the sheriff, with the chief of police in Wymore, as well as the Beatrice Police Department. We contact victims of crime, and we also assist those that are victims of violent crime. We help with protection orders. That's a big part of what we're doing right now is walking domestic violence victims through the process of getting protection orders, dealing with harassment protection orders, as well as doing follow-up work with victims as they prepare for trial, as they go through the process. Carrie here has been with us a long time. She does a great job. One of the things that she does, and I think is a great thing, is she's somewhat of a thorn in the side of the county attorney's office at times. She's a thorn in the side of the police at times, as it should be, because she's representing and advocating for the victim. The victim very often is forgotten in our system and doesn't understand how it all works, and she does a really good job of clarifying that, helping them get through the system, keeping them abreast of changes. Things in my business that we take for granted and we may skip over, the victim doesn't understand, and she does a really good job of making sure that they understand those things. The same with the county attorney. If they do things procedurally that might cause some hardship to the victim, her job is to make sure they understand the hardship that's caused. And that's because they don't always think about those things, and that's her job. Unfortunately, as years have gone on, the federal and state funding for this program has decreased, and so they've looked at county and city to step to the plate. We've been the fiscal agent of this program for a number of years. It's housed in the Beatrice Police Department, where we provide a vehicle and we provide office and support for that, as well as a monetary contribution as well. So, but we appreciate the county's support in the past and certainly would hope that they would continue. And with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Any questions?
I just want to echo what the chief said. Carrie's just been super, and particularly when you're a new county attorney. She reminds me of things that otherwise might go.
You're echoing that she is a pain in the side?
Well, you know.
I have
pains, but she's a pleasant pain.
I want to make it very public that I want you to continue being a pain, okay, Carrie?
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Bids of the sidewalk opening down to Denny. And we have how many?
Two.
We have two bids, one from BJ Hill Construction. And another from R.L. Tiemann Construction. First bid from B&J Hill Construction of Philly, Nebraska, 520 feet by 6 foot by 4 inch driveway, 2,525 square feet, curb grind, replace curb, circle pad and the chip rock for grading. And the bid is $25,853. The next bid from RL Teeman Construction basically the same specs, the 4-inch concrete, 6-inch concrete, curb grinding, etc., and the bid being $24,423.25.
Okay, do you want those to go to committee, Denny, to look at or make a decision now?
I think probably we could make a decision now.
Is that a motion?
I would move that we accept the bid of RL Teeman Construction in the amount of $24,423.25.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Kathy. I guess this is for moving the sidewalk in. Is this correct?
Dave?
Just kind of...
I can explain.
Yeah, just refresh us on what we're doing here.
Good morning. Dave Jones. What we decided was to replace the sidewalk along 6th Street and along Lincoln Street with a 6-foot-wide sidewalk that would still go up to the street curb. This would allow a safer path for pedestrians to walk on, and also when the snow removal in the wintertime, we would have plenty of space to still have a clear spot for the pedestrians. We decided because of the grade on the west side, it would have really cut into the bank if we would have moved the sidewalks closer to the east. So that's why we decided to go with a 6-foot-wide sidewalk also.
And would have required some additional dollars as far as building a retaining wall and some other things that probably we didn't need.
So we're going with a 6-foot-wide sidewalk from the curb in,
right,
rather than having a...
Right now it's a 4-foot sidewalk, and so we would... Mm-hmm. 6 feet.
Dave, when are we... The sidewalks here on the west side of the building that we were told by the fire marshal for egress, when are we going to look at doing those?
That is included in this bid also.
Okay.
We do need to have a path from the west stairs going out to the west, and that is included in this bid also.
We needed to make sure that was clear on it. So
this bid also includes a circle pad. We have a concrete picnic table that we would like to put underneath some shade trees and a small amount of retaining wall. And then the driveway would still be the same driveway on the northeast corner, but it would the approach would come directly straight across from the north side of the street also to make it a easier access for delivery.
So it's a lot of work, actually. Kathy, are you done?
But if this is not done at this, is it imperative that it be done at this time rather than down the road after people have kind of recovered from all of the spending that's been done?
I would say it would be good to do it now. We have a lot of damage to the sidewalks at this time. There's a lot of trip hazards out there. If we don't do it now, it would be hard for the sprinkler. He's waiting for us to get the sidewalks done until he can install the sprinkler system at this time also.
And I think as we discussed, we have some liability issues with the shape of the sidewalks now, and we need to get it done.
The sidewalks have sunk down below the curbing of the street. They are in pretty bad shape.
Terry?
I guess my only question is, I remember back when this started, the original estimates, I guess they were called at that time, were in the $20,000
range.
Right. What's the difference now?
The difference would be, I wrote them down. We actually had our lowest proposal before was $21,788, mm-hmm. And that did not include the barricades to close 6th Street and Lincoln Street, and we also added curb cuts in the specs. And there's a little piece in front of the driveway where there is it would be replacing the portion that the county, where the street meets the county, there was a little bit of damage there.
Right.
So there was a few additional
things. That answers that question. I guess I'm in agreement. I'd say we would want to get this thing wrapped up.
And I would like to add, I did talk to the guys. Originally, we thought maybe we could get barricades from the city or from the highway department, and it was always an iffy deal whether those barricades would be available at the time that we do this, so we did just include the bids in for the people doing the work.
The north sidewalk here, too, that'll be 6 feet?
Right.
That won't be moved in then at all?
No.
Either. No.
No.
And I guess my one other comment is if we hope to sow grass this fall, I know a lot of people talked about grass. If we don't do the sidewalks pretty soon, you know, you're going to do it after the grass is sown or whatever, and that's, you just, well, try and do it beforehand.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you, David. Ag Society.
Good morning. I'm Steve Whitworth, president of Gage County Ag Society. With me this morning is Lisa Wiegand. She is our treasurer. She's in the process of handing out to you some of our information dealing with our budgets and our expenses. Annually, the supervisors give us tax dollars to help run the Ag Society and the fair. Basically, we've tried to condense this for you without giving you a full budget for you to take a look at what our expenses are and where some of our dollars go for. If you'll notice, the county in 2010 awarded us $125,816. Our total expenses for the year were $211,141, which leaves a deficit of about approximately $85,000. The Gage County Ag Society is made up of 15 members. We are volunteer members who are elected at a meeting that we have in November for three-year terms. We put a lot of time into trying to make the Ag Society a good society. Primarily our fair is our big thing that we do. The Speedway, yes, we do have the Speedway, but we use the Speedway primarily as a fundraising for our other projects that we have. To give you an example, a little bit about what we do, we have an average attendance at our speedways of approximately 1,000 people per week. That includes people in the grandstand and our drivers and people in the pits. Brings a lot of money and a lot of dollars into the city of Beatrice and into the county. Our fair this year, last year anyway, we had approximately 32,000 people attend our fair. And they came from 22 states, 28 Nebraska counties, and 12 different Kansas counties. So we bring in quite a few people into the area. The other thing I'd like to mention is the youth that we serve and the people in Gage County. We have any place from 450 to 500 young people, 4-H FFAers, that will be showing at this year's county fair. In addition to that, we also have approximately 450 to 500 community people who will have exhibits at the fair. There are a lot of other things that include those things. So anyway, Lisa knows a lot more about dollar figures, and so I'm going to give you a chance to visit with them, too, if you would like to.
Just to go back to the entertainment side and also the racing side, how we assume, you know, we've always done it, is that those things have to be self-supportive. So we don't use any tax dollars to support the racing program. Also, for the five nights of entertainment, all has to be self-supported. So we have to come up with various promotions and ticket sales and alcohol sales to make this work for us. Without those venues, we could not continue the program. So as far as updating, you know, you can see just our liability insurance, $29,000. That is only on the main account side, just to protect us as an Ag Society. That doesn't include racing. Racing, on the average, we pay about $1,000 a night just for insurance, for spectator use, and also just some protection with the drivers. So if you have questions as you're going through there, as we continue the year, auditing, reporting for Ag Societies, $3,500, which seems to be a lot of money, but it's required by the state. And ribbons, judges, and the premiums, those are protected by state statutes. Years ago in 1865, that's when the law was created for the state and counties to support ag societies. And essentially 1865, yeah, is as long as ag societies have been in effect. And so those state or those county dollars would be allocated for premiums, judges, ribbons, and general maintenance and repairs of the Gage County, of any fairgrounds, except for those counties. There's still three counties that are county fair boards that are decided by the board themselves. So just wanted to give you a little bit of update. I'm going down just to our youth activities, very important part. Things are happening out at the fairgrounds right now like, well, you wouldn't believe. We actually have carnival rides there right now, so we're pretty excited. They're a week ahead. But there's lots of things coming up. We'll be hosting the hog rally. Which isn't the four-legged hog, but it is the motorcycle rally, and that's coming up, I believe, in August.
No, it's Memorial Day next year.
Okay, Memorial Day of next year. But we are trying to promote the fairgrounds as best as we can so we can continue to generate revenue so we don't have to be self-supported so much on you guys, too. So
appreciate that.
Yeah.
Matt.
Just a comment, as a family of six, I'm four kids, it's a wonderful family activity. My kids absolutely love going to the fair, and from a countywide standpoint, the fairs and the Ag Society have been supportive of Gage County United Way with some fundraising activities there. So that's really is a countywide event, and I appreciate the work you do.
Sure. Keep it in mind, though, we are a free fair yet, and so when our expenses start to exceed, then we would have to be forced to charge at the gate, and that's not our goal, but we know that could be coming if our expenses get higher. So.
I might make notes since you talk about family of six. I would express the opinion that a more mature family of two, that we enjoy the fair also. We think it's absolutely fantastic.
Good.
I appreciate what you do, and as Steve and I talked last week, I believe tourism in Gage County, they are probably the largest draw by far. I don't think you guys utilize the tourism dollars that are available for offset enough, or we as a body don't grant them enough, because what they generate, I believe you should apply for more for what venues you may need to improvements.
The last tourism dollars that we received was, I believe, 3 years ago for the horse arena improvements, and I think that was a tourism grant of $13,000. So.
Yeah. So.
The restrooms at that time.
Yeah. Restrooms.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bruce, do you need to do seed? Sorry on that. I should have done it at the same time. Historical Society, I hate to let you go. They need to get to the funeral. So,
Bruce Lang, SEED coordinator. SEED is a Southeast Area Drug Enforcement Task Force made up of a five-county area in southeast Nebraska. We've been in existence for well over 12 years. The current makeup of the task force is we have an investigator that's actually an employee of Gage County Sheriff's Office. We have another investigator that's an employee of Tecumseh, and we have a part-time secretary position. They do all types of mostly undercover drug work, working with informants, working on the various drug problems that present themselves to Gage County, present themselves to southeast Nebraska, present themselves to all of Nebraska, and they interact with the other task forces as well. Unfortunately, it's a needed expense, it's a needed agency, it's a needed job, and wish we didn't have to do it, but we do. It's no secret that the fact that it's housed in Gage County means that we probably get a bigger share of the enforcement pie than somebody in Falls City. They don't like that as well, but that's just the nature of housing it, and that's part of us.
Nature of population, too.
Well, a little bit of population. It's also we take on the fiscal. We're the fiscal agent, which is a major pain, to say the least, because there's a lot of different funding sources and grants and monies that come in, and it's somewhat of an accounting nightmare. So, I mean, there's a lot of negatives to being the host of this program, but the bottom line is serving Gage County, serving them well. I think Gus would concur that the drug problem is better than it was when I was standing here 5 years ago. The meth problem is better. The prescription drug problem is worse, much worse. That's where we're seeing most of our activity. So we shifted gears, and we're now attacking that problem. And that's a little different kettle of fish to deal with than your street level drugs, but it's still the same kind of problem. So that's what the Drug Task Force does, and that's kind of how we function. So with that, I'd be glad to answer questions. I don't know who knows what about it.
Again, I just appreciate working with you and Gus on this. It's a lot of people. A lot of this is in front page stuff for obvious reasons.
Well, in addition to that, we have taken quite a few, especially meth cases, federally, and they've been indicted and charged federally. In the federal side, there's no good time provisions. So if a guy gets 8 years on the federal side, he's gone for 8 years. And part of the reason we saw a decline in meth use was simply for that, is a lot of those people that were using and selling and so forth are in prison. So, whether how that's going to go in years, I can tell you right now that we will have a different discussion next year about the Drug Task Force because of federal funding. And so what that discussion will be, I don't know. But I'd almost guarantee you that next year's discussions will be different, and we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But they've kind of given us a heads up that all these discussions you're reading about in the newspaper as we speak, we're one of those elements on the chopping block. So we'll see what happens.
It all flows down.
Yes, it does. But it's an issue that won't go away, and how we attack it will be a strategic discussion that we'll all have, county, city, and everybody.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Historical Society.
Okay.
I'm Lisa Artburn with the Gage County Historical Society. I'm the director. I've been the director for 23 years. And we're a full-time historical society keeping the history of Gage County. We've been an organization since 1971, 100 years after the Ag Society. Just a little bit of history there. As you get your paperwork, our big thing coming up is the Robert Taylor weekend. We bring a lot of people in throughout the nation, and this is one of the activities that will be going on in August. Robert Taylor would have been 100 years old on August 5th, and his family is coming back for that. So tourism will be increased by people coming as far away as Australia, Las Vegas, Vermont, so they will be coming from all over to Gage County to learn more about one of our citizens that was born in Philly and raised in Beatrice. The Gage County Historical Society also takes care of the Philly Stone Barn, and we have agricultural history programs out there, including Pioneer Days, which has increased to 3 days now, where fourth graders throughout the area come and learn farming practices right on the very site of the first upland homestead in Gage County. And that is an all-volunteer group that takes care of that. They plant the seed and take care of the crops and teach the children those farming practices. So that's another one of our activities. We're open full-time as a historical society, which is pretty rare throughout the nation. So many of our historical societies don't get a lot of attention but are extremely important to the history of our counties. And we keep a lot of materials that relate to the history for others to research or learn more about. We have a lot of genealogists come in. Our goal is to make them stay longer than one day. So we say, oh, there's more tomorrow. You have to go to the courthouse, and you have to go see the site. So we get them out into the country, into the small communities throughout the county, so that they can experience where their relatives lived, worked, or experienced their lives. So we're pretty simple that way. We're located in a 1906 Burlington passenger station on the very site where the County Board of Supervisors were first elected in 1858 on that very site. So it's a very historic site, not only because it's the National Register building that we're in, but on the site of the founding of Beatrice and the founding of County of Gage. So do you have any questions for me? I know a lot of you have probably been to the Historical Society, or Hysterical Society, as we sometimes are called, because we have fun with the history. The history is just delightful. I've been there 23 years. Always have been interested in history, and still am. And Reed has been there 22 years, so we now answer each other's questions before we even open our mouths. So. What? And then I go, oh, it's over there. Or so it's been wonderful working together with Rita. We have 9 members on our board, and they help us out with all those major decisions. And we squeeze the penny till there's nothing left. And then we squeeze it some more. So we cut our budget by quite a bit last year, and we're able to keep that down. So we do our share that way.
Questions?
Matt,
question? No.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Bobby Mites.
Bobby's not here.
I was going to say, you sure don't look like Bobby.
I'm so pretty. Good.
I'm Alan Richard. I'm the president of Five Rivers RC&D. Give me a minute here and I'll... Interesting to sit here this morning and listen to all the people that are presenting information to you, to listen to how much you've been involved in all of them. We actually started the anhydrous tank program. It seems like a lot of these things that we try and get started take a long time to finally get into place, but we usually accomplish it. Five Rivers RC&D is one of the 12 RC&Ds in the state of Nebraska, one of the 375 that work funded across the nation. We're still appropriated under the Farm Bill. They just eliminated our funding. All 375 agencies across the United States operated on $50.3 million. Nebraska operated on $1.2 million. I imagine some of you know Tammy Timms from Adams. She was our coordinator. And, of course, now she's back. She's still working for NRCS, but she's out of the Wilbur office. So we have gone down to a part-time employee, who is Bobby Mites. But anyway... I've given you a list. It's our last year's annual report. Our year ended June the 30th, so there'll be a new one coming out. And I've given you a list of the projects that we've completed in the past. I don't think this is out yet. Usually you all get the connections, right? Our monthly newsletter we send out to everybody. And I don't think this one's been out yet, but it lists the projects that we're working on, you know, this month or this year. Obviously, our weed management area is meeting this morning. We're working on a huge grant for weed management, actually in probably about 9 or 10 counties in southeast Nebraska. Our drug coalitions, I've never met Sandy Morsey, but anyway, we work with a lot of the drug coalitions across the 8 counties. Highway 136 Byway, most of their meetings are all held at our office in Tecumseh. Community leader and official training, we did that in Auburn a month ago and had 60-some public officials show up at this training, and we want to do one either in Gage County or Jefferson County out for the western part, and then we want to do one up in the northern part. Anyway, we are involved in the 8 counties and in a lot of ways, and have been in the past, as you see all the projects that we've worked on. I'm asking today, since we've lost our funding, and I know that it's a huge increase because in the past you've paid $300 a year for our support, and we decided to go with a fee based on population, and that's 20 cents per capita. And since Gage County, we have a number of 22,311, and I'm assuming that's correct, would be $4,462.20. And so I'm asking you this morning to, as you're working on your budget, consider including that amount for us to continue to operate in the next year. And I'll be glad to answer any questions if I can. If not.
I don't know. Just Noel, and I've been at the meetings. I'm the new member on the committee from Gage County or whatever, and it's kind of interesting to see through how the government cut the funding. They just said that's it, and I guess some of my, not so much for you, but some of my thoughts are what's going to happen here with the budget issues they're having here in the next few weeks or whatever, and what else is going to be or start to be on the chopping block or whatever. I mean, that the government needs to get serious about it, but then it starts affecting a lot of organizations, a lot of communities, and a lot of people.
The interesting thing is that our president has now formed a task force of the 28 chiefs in Washington to start a new group of rural development, which is basically our project is working with the rural communities. And start a new agency. Got rid of one that has been in effect since about 1962 and start a brand new one, which I imagine will be a lot cheaper. Anyway, it has been, and it's been a terrible 3 months trying to close everything out and work with the federal government. It's as a volunteer group, we shouldn't have to put up with something like that, is all I can say. I don't want to say anymore.
Agreed.
Anyway, any other questions, comments? You know, Myron attends regularly, and Rex is our alternate. And we really appreciate the support that Gage County has given us over the years. Thank you very much, and hope you can help us out in your budget.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a 10-minute recess, point of privilege, and then we will continue when we get back. That is all the... Right?
Yeah. One item.
We did that.
No, you didn't.
Yes, we did.
The 1%.
Oh, I know. We'll do it when we come back. When we come back, it's not... Just so you know that I'm not walking away from 5 minutes of being done, we're going to have an executive session to discuss... needless injury to personnel and preventative legal action. So we're going to do the 1% committee reports and then go into executive session. Probably won't be 5 minutes long, but unless you guys want to continue right now and just knock it out.
That's fine with me.
Knock it out? I guess without Fleece here, we can kind of shoot right through these. Okay. Approve or disapprove 1% increase for the lid on restricted funds.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion.
Dawn, can you speak to that, please?
Yeah. Well, it's just it's a 1% increase that you can have the option to use if you want above the 2.5%. So you don't have to do an increase. It's just there. We have to vote on it in order to have that option.
If we need it, if we don't vote on it, we can't utilize it. So it's preventative.
But this is for the upcoming budget, then.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. And just, you know, budgets basically are your best guess based on past performance and what you think is going to happen. But you never know what's going to happen down the road, and we're trying to plan for the next 12 months. And so I would advocate not using it. And if it gets to a point where we would need it, obviously this full disclosure and an open meeting that we'll do that. This just gives us the authority. So.
Okay. Any more discussion?
I don't know who was the second.
Dorn.
Dorn. Okay.
Vote 7-0 to approve.
No.
Gary. Oh, six. Gary is abstained. Went to the funeral.
Committee reports.
I'll go Terry. First. Basically, on the Road and Bridge Committee, we held Monday. Most of the discussion was concerning our upcoming budget for the year. Marlon covered most everything else in his deal, but the main part that we covered was upcoming budget items, some places that we thought we could increase, decrease, and it's ongoing.
It's still preliminary.
Yes, yes.
Until we find out where we're at.
We're doing our best we can to keep things as low as we can.
Okay.
I guess preliminary. That's basically all I have.
Okay. Any other committee reports? Finance.
Finance Committee, again, going through the budget, carried over some of the discussion we had in Road and Bridge over Finance Committee, and again, stepping through, looking at different things. You know, basically putting together a wish, wants, and needs and desires list, and really we're waiting on the ultimate ability to put it together kind of resides in the assessor's office once we get final valuation and stuff that comes in. So that typically comes in, Don?
August. Yeah. Dates like August 20th, she has
August
until.
20th. So we'll get where we think we need to be. I don't know if you want to delve into any of the specifics on Road and Bridge, or I mean, they're just.
I think it's too preliminary until we know more.
We talked about a truck purchase, maybe look something used, but we don't even know if we're going to do that.
On moving the material over to the township, so I think that's a positive.
One of the things we looked at this last budget year is in previous budget years, the product with rock and gravel for the county and the townships entirely was just put into one line item. And so when it was used up, it was gone. But it wasn't really a true reflection of what the expenditures would be. As we take bids, we know what allocations are of gravel to the townships. And so it was very difficult to track where that went outside of pulling the claims out. Plus, if the township wanted to look into the budget and see how many dollars were left in there, there really wasn't a mechanism to do that because it became convoluted. So knowing that last year, I decided this year, and I worked with Don, you know, let's break this out and put that as a specific, separate item in the budget. So it says township rock and gravel. And that'll be split out separate from what the county gravel and rock will be. And again, rock and gravel can become somewhat of a mundane conversation, but there's significant dollars, almost $2 million we budget and expend every year of a $7.4 million tax asking. So it begs conversation. It begs tracking that. It begs making sure that we're using that product appropriately. So there are some discussions about how those allocations will be this year and how big that dollar amount will be. So we've tried to make some adjustments in the budget to track things better. Again, full disclosure, so if people want to look at the budget, they can see where it's at. And more broad of a topic, and I know I've bugged on for 2.5 years now, of how do we get the county budget online so people can look at it? Because the more people that look at it, I don't care if you're someone sitting at home and you get on the Internet, the more eyes that look at it, the better off we are, because you never know. Someone may have a great idea of why do you do this? And so
my answer was,
Don, yes, we do have the ability to do this now. As you put me off for a few years, but, you know, it is a big file that we'll have to put on there, but there is a way to work that through MIPS, I believe.
Actually, our website has a link, or you can go to the state auditor's website, and they have all of them on there. So
people can go through and look at that. Now, will it have the historical where things, or just this current year we're working in?
I don't know if they have the historical on there or not. I didn't ask on that one.
So that'll be on there. You know, I would encourage people, these are public documents. I think a lot of times people forget that the things that we discuss basically are public documents. We work off public documents that have full disclosure, so people are welcome to look at them. So nothing secret or anything like that. So I think that'll be good so people can get out there and maybe if they want to look at it. I enjoy looking at them, but some people may find them fairly mundane. They are in black and white, and there's no graphics. So, anyway, whatever. Okay, working on the budget.
Any other committee reports? I'd like a motion to go into executive session to prevent needless injury to personnel and preventative legal action.
So moved.
Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 to approve. Okay, need a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman. Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 with Lytle absent. Anything else for the good of the order? Anything else for the good of the order? The Gage County Board of Supervisors will adjourn at 10:51 and reconvene as the Gage County Board of Equalization at 1 o'clock.